It's an exciting time to be our guest today, Steve Earle. His recurring character, Harley Watt, is back singing on the streets of New Orleans on the new season of the HBO drama Tremé. He has a new album out alongside his debut novel, which has been getting some positive early reviews. He's here today with his road band, rechristened the Dukes and the Duchesses, with the addition of his wife, Allison Moore, on keyboards and vocals. His new album and his novel share a title taken from a Hank Williams song, I'll Never Get Out of This World Alive. I asked him when he realized that the album and the book shared the same themes.
When I sequenced it, T-Bone and I were mixing, and T-Bone Burnett produced this record, and he actually was still in Nashville working on the Bill Monroe project, and I had started mixing in L.A., but I went ahead and put a sequence together and listened to it, and it dawned on me that the songs on this record are kind of about the same things when it gets right down to it that the book's about.
Yeah, mortality is certainly in here, but it is not a downbeat album by any stretch of the imagination.
It doesn't bum me out anyway. I mean, I didn't see it that way. It was like, I sort of think your intentions count, and I'm kind of, I like art that's at least in the long run, you know, uplifting after you've been through the process of making it and consuming it.
Amen. Steve Earle and Dukes and Duchesses are here. And what do you guys want to start off with?
This is the opening track on the record, and this is kind of, it's just what it is. One, two, three, go. I grew up in a military town, waiting on the sky to fall.
Waiting on the Sky, as Steve Earle says, the song that begins the new album, and sort of a statement of where things are. And Redheaded Girls have inspired a lot of great songs.
There's no doubt about that. It's very, very inspiring, actually.
Well, tell you what, you were talking about maybe doing this great song called Every Part of Me, which is such an unabashed love song as you've ever written. Tell me about writing that one.
Well, Allison and I have toured together most of the time that we've been married, and we couple of tours, and then suddenly, when the Towns tour happened, Allison was pregnant, and it sort of, you know, was the best thing for everybody involved if Allison stayed home and took care of herself. So I had to do a tour by myself for the first time in a long time, and I discovered pretty quickly that I wasn't used to that anymore, and basically ended up got in the deepest, darkest East Anglia somewhere, and all by myself, and this resulted from that.
I love you with all my heart, all my soul, every part of me. It's all I can do to mark where you start and where I end, you see. Living on my travails, I left a trail of tears behind me. Been in love so many times,
songs. That's Every Part of Me, Steve Earle, and the Dukes and Duchesses playing live for us today on the Cafe. You know, Steve, we've talked a few times in the past, and it's been a few years ago that I think you first mentioned writing the novel, around the time I think that the short stories came out. Was talking about it that early kind of way to make it public, to kind of force yourself to carry through?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You open your mouth up, and then you have to finish something. And there were people, I think, that really seriously doubted that it existed. I mean, I know I read at St. Mark's at the Poetry Marathon every New Year's Day. And normally, me and a lot of other people write a new poem for that if we don't write another piece of poetry the whole year. And I normally write a new poem for that every year. And this year, I broke that tradition for the first time, and I read from the novel because I was just so thrilled that I'd actually finished it. That was one of those that I wanted to prove to people that there actually was such a thing.
Tell people a little bit about it.
Oh, God. Let's see. It's called I'll Never Get Out of This World Alive, because that was the last song that Hank Williams recorded. And it was on the last session that he did, and it was released, last record he released before he died, and it went to number one the week after he died. And basically, the protagonist in this story is a defrocked doctor who is a heroin addict and living in San Antonio, Texas in 1963. And he supports his habit largely by performing abortions. And 10 years earlier, he was indeed traveling with Hank Williams when he died. And Hank's ghost has followed him to San Antonio, Texas.
Wow. Wow. A little otherworldly stuff, too. And I guess inside the mind of a heroin addict must be pretty pretty staggering territory, too.
Well, I mean, it's not, you know, they say write what you know. But I hope I'm through writing about dope. There were several things in the short story collection. But I started this, you know, almost 8 years ago, and it took a long time because this is not my day job. And I just ended up, I thought I was going to be able to publish this about the same time that Towns came out, but I got to the top of the hill and looked over it, and there was another hill. But we did record I'll Never Get Out of This World Alive on the sessions for this record. Now, it's only available as a download, or is there actually... Some lucky people may have gotten a 7-inch vinyl single of this on record store day, and I took the title. Hey, you know, it's like making a record with a title track that isn't included in the record, and except in this obscure. That's we used to make records for girls. Now we make them for nerds. What can I say? But this has always been one of my favorite Hank Williams songs. Anyway.
Man, it's getting kind of mad. I had a lot of luck, but it's all been bad. No matter how I struggle to strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. My fishing pole's broke, the creek is full of sand. My woman run away with another man. No matter how I struggle to strive,
Never Get Out of This World Alive, the Dukes and Duchesses turning themselves into the Drifting Cowboys on that one. Sounded great.
Yeah, it's pretty much the Hank Williams arrangement, except it's in a different key, because I could sing in that key at one point in my life, but this ain't it.
So Treme, you know, obviously had to take a break to produce some more shows, and coming back on, and your part as Harley apparently is appearing a couple weeks from now. And tell me a little bit about that character. Obviously, you were in The Wire. That character seemed a little more like you were playing you. But tell me a little bit about Harley and how you approach that.
Well, I'm not that great an actor, so all these parts are a part of me. I don't know, like, you know, a redneck recovering addict in The Wire, that's not much of a stretch. Harley is, I even named Harley Watt. I named the character because he, his character comes from the name of a character in the first short story I ever wrote, a story called Wheeler County, which is actually included in Doghouse Roses. And that was because David Simon hadn't come up with a name for him and told me I could name my own character. Harley is conceived by David, and Eric Overmyer, I believe, is kind of me if I'd never gotten a record deal. I based him, and based what I know about him as an actor, on several people I've known that actually played on the streets of New Orleans and made a living at it. Because the people that play on the streets of New Orleans, you know, they're not homeless people. They're musicians, and that's a venue out there, and it's a viable venue, and people make a living doing it. And Harley's like a guy that's maybe, you know, bounced off the music business in a couple of cities and a couple of times. And he's like, he's, you know, his story is that he's from Texas, and he's like out there playing on the street and making a, and he's been doing it long. He's a non-traditional busker too, which is, I think, important to the story, that there's sort of two kinds of people playing on the streets. There's the traditional jazz players, and then there are guys that's really important that are keeping the tradition alive. And then there's people that showed up in the 70s and 80s, basically hippies is the way the locals referred to them, like playing other stuff, other, you know, they play stuff from the New Orleans tradition, but they'd also play other stuff, you know, folk and country, bluegrass music. There's even, you know, there's klezmer bands running around in New Orleans playing on the street. It's pretty wide open out there. There was a little bit of headbutting as kids got involved and sort of revitalized the trad jazz scene. So these kids were like, they were pretty tough kids, and they were willing to fight for their territory. So there was some tension between the non-traditional buskers and the traditional buskers in the 80s. And finally, the settlement that was reached after some heads getting busted was that Royal Street became the non-traditional buskers' territory. Now, non-traditional performers have both Royal Street and they share Frenchman's. Frenchman Street's sort of shared by everybody.
Now, how do you like the acting experience? Because I know there's a lot of downtime when you're doing something like that.
Well, that's probably the worst part about it, but I've gotten a lot done in that downtime. I wrote this city. There's this thing called a hold that happens to, especially if you're not a particularly important character in a television show. And it you know, when the costs, it's all about the costs. Like, they fly me down, and my plane ticket is weighed against the cost of keeping me in a hotel for one day, and whichever is less is what they're willing to pay. So a lot of times I'm shooting on Wednesday and I'm shooting on Friday, and they shoot the show as much in sequence as they can, as you know, you can't always do that in when it comes to locations, managing locations, especially in a city like New Orleans. But you know, you're shooting on Wednesday, they hold you on Thursday, and so you sit around the hotel all day, or sometimes I go out and hang out on the set just if somebody I know is shooting and I want to visit with them. But this particular night, I was shooting in on Decatur Street, you know, doing a busking scene, and David Simon, the writers come out of the pit late at night when we're in the middle of production because they're writing during the daytime. David came out and asked me, he pulled me aside, asked me if I thought I could write a song that my character would have written in 2005. And the next day I was being held, and I wrote this in my hotel room the next day. Okay. And then we got together a few weeks. You know, we had to have this ready for the last episode. So I called T-Bone. He came in. He called Alan Toussaint. And it's one of the greatest experiences of my musical life, that's for sure.
Wash away. This city won't ever drown. Blood and water and hell to pay. Sky to open, pain rain down. Doesn't matter, just come what may. I ain't ever gonna leave this town. This city won't wash away. This city won't ever drown. Ain't the river or the wind to blame. Everybody around here knows. Nothing holding back punch or train. Except for prayer and the promises goes. We just carry on digging our graves. Silent mama.
I guess Steve Earle's song that you may know from Tremé. It's really interesting, Steve, that you wrote that song when you wrote it. You kind of got a chance to write a New Orleans song, you know, out of time. I mean,
we lived in the whole first season in 2005. It was there were people that you know that were a little weirded out by, because you know they'd spent a lot of time cleaning up what they could of the city, and then we'd come back and kind of mess things up again to shoot certain scenes in certain periods. But it's a great experience. It's been one of my favorite things to go down there. And I get to go to New Orleans a lot. That's my favorite part of the gig.
Absolutely. Hey, Steve, thank you so much for doing this today.
Thank you.
Steve Earle, our guest, and we shall be back in just a moment here on the World Cafe.